Hello, and welcome to Unstuffing Our Story, with me, Catrice Horsley. On today's show, there are no guests, it's just you and me. Because every third episode, I'm going to be discussing the wisdom that was shared with us from the previous two guests, and trying to weave that wisdom into some kind of personal meaning and link it into some of the old stories. So today, settle yourself down. Next to me is the little dog. I have a cup of tea in front of me. I hope you're as comfortable, because now it's time to share the stories of our previous two guests and link them into meaning for ourselves. Are you ready? Are you ready to start unstuffing your story? I thought I'd start off by sharing with you all what stories mean to me and what they have provided me with throughout my life. And for me, I think they gave me a structure and the way to make sense of events in my life, whether it was the story of Rapunzel when I was a little girl and I had speech problems. So I had to go to speech therapy classes, and I was classed as a selective mute by my teachers. And also they described me as being educationally subnormal, ESN. And I remember reading and rereading the story of Rapunzel, of this girl locked in a tower with nobody to speak to. And sometimes I think that's how I felt. I was locked in the tower of my inability to be understood. And somehow rereading that story helped me untangle some of the knots in my feelings that I couldn't even articulate as a young girl. Nowadays, much later on, with a larger repertoire of stories and more knowledge around stories, if I'm going through a difficult period in my life, I will often choose a story to help me reflect on what's happening. About 5 years ago, I had to undergo lung surgery, and they were not sure, the doctors and the surgeons, what they were going to find when they went into my lung. And I could wake up with the diagnosis of cancer. I could wake up with a large section of my lung being removed, a small section of my lung being removed. I could end up not waking up at all because of the anaesthetic and because of some issues I had with breathing. It was a scary time. And I remember reaching towards the story of Inanna. Inanna is one of the earliest stories in existence. And it's an ancient Sumerian story. And it tells of the goddess Inanna. And in the particular section of the story that I focused on, she had to go down into the underworld. She had to go through seven gateways. And she had to remove her crown. She had to remove her beautiful jewellery that gave her power and potency. She had to remove her clothing. And in the end, she had to be naked and bowed down as she went through the last door into the underworld. And then she was changed into a piece of meat and she was hung from a hook. But that was not the end of her, because she was remembered. Somebody in the world above remembered her name and sent special creatures to bring her back to life, to reclaim her, to bring her back to the surface. And for me, as I took my nail varnish off, because you were not allowed to have nail varnish on if you were going to have surgery, I thought of Inanna. As I made sure all of my makeup was removed, I thought of Inanna. As I made sure that I washed my body but did not moisturize it, I thought of Inanna. And as I lay myself upon the operating table, I thought of myself as a piece of meat. and I was going to be cut into, and I had to surrender to that. And then I remember waking up on the ward, and I remember the man who is now my husband calling my name, and I remember turning towards him. Somebody in the world above remembered me and called my name. And as it was, the diagnosis wasn't cancer, and they'd only taken out a small section of my lung, so I recovered relatively quickly. That story just helped me make sense of my anxiety, and also helped me believe that I would be called back into life by somebody who cared for me. It gave me that golden thread through the dark fairy tale forest filled with shadows that I was inhabiting at that time of not knowing. So if I think of the stories that Anthony and Sandra shared with us, the stories of their lives, one of the things that I think is very prevalent in both their stories is the fact that many people within their school environment or many of their peers had believed them to not be anything special and perhaps in some ways be slightly negative towards them. Both of them were a bit bullied. Both of them didn't do that well at school, and perhaps both of them had heard quite negative or challenging stories about themselves, their behaviour or their abilities. Indeed, with Sandra, she had the dyslexia, and Anthony, perhaps he was just a little bit lost. And yet with both of them, they also talk about those defining moments in their lives being linked to people who believed in them, and their special helpers who gave them the gift of self-belief, perhaps gave them the gift of a different way of being. And with Anthony, one of those was his uncle, and with Sandra, her parents. And both of them, when it came to what advice would you give to people, if they're our helpers and they're going to give us advice on our journeys, they were talking about pursuing what feels right, that somehow in ourselves we have a sense of what is right for us, and that's what we should step towards. And we might not be able to make it our whole career and earn money from it, but it doesn't stop us stepping towards the thing that feels true to us, that we have some innate sense of ourselves and what is true to us. And when I was listening to both of their stories, the traditional stories that were instantly triggered in my head were those to do with the foolish boy or the foolish girl, the Jack stories, Jack being, you know, lazy, or Jack being seen as being lazy or having no skills or having nothing special. And yet he's the one who gets the golden beans and the beanstalk grows and he gets the gold and they live happily ever after. There are also stories about young girls doing similar things. There's a great Scottish story called Gaelic, in the Scottish language, it's called something like Muel or Clipin. It's also known as Molly Whoopi, which I find much easier to say. And that's a young girl who's got two older sisters and they just don't think she's worth much and they want to travel off and seek their fortune. They certainly don't want her coming with them. And they tie her to a rock and they stick her in the ground because she's just, you know, well, she's got nothing to give. She's of no worth. And she ends up saving their lives and she ends up tricking a giant in the same way that Jack does out of a lot of gold. So she becomes very successful at the end. And these stories exist throughout the world. There's a great Ghanaian story called Kwesi Jinmoa, which is essentially the same as Molly Whoopi, except it's a young boy who cheats death. It's a great, great story. And what this shows me, these old stories of how the foolish boy, the foolish girl suddenly become kings and queens of kingdoms, they show me that we need to trust more those superpowers, as Sandra said, those unique superpowers that people have, whether it's dyslexia or ADHD or, you know, a whole range of different ways of making sense and seeing the world around us. Sandra and Anthony were both lucky enough to have some kind of internal compass that they followed of this is the right thing. And in these ancient traditional stories, the characters, the foolish characters, the wise fools, they also have this internal compass. They can't do anything but follow how they are. They are not distracted. And that brings me on to something that I think is very important in today's society. So, the thing that I think is very important in the present moment is distraction. Or too much distraction. There is a wonderful quote that I read in The Most Incredible Book, which I have to recommend. It's a book called Cassandra Speaks by Elizabeth Lesser. And the subtitle is What the World Would Be Like If Women Had Told the Stories, or something like that. And in that book, there is this great quote. And the quote is by somebody called José Ortega y Gasset. And the quote is, "Tell me to what you pay attention, and I will tell you who you are." Let me say that again. Tell me to what you pay attention, and I will tell you who you are. In the old traditional stories of the wise fool paid attention to their truth. They were not distracted. They were not on Instagram looking at pictures that had been, those pictures where you can have it changed so you look more beautiful, whatever beautiful means. They hadn't been enhanced through Instagram pictures and then felt crap about themselves. They weren't distracted through that. They weren't distracted through advertisements that say that you have to have the latest car or the latest computer or the latest mobile phone or the latest whatever. They were not distracted. And for me, if I think of that quote, tell me to what you pay attention and I will tell you who you are. If I think of that, I don't just think of it in terms of me as an individual. I think of it as us. And where our attention is being dragged to, is being focused, not by us, but by the media, by the news. I have actually had to limit the time I spend reading newspapers or looking at the news because it is so overwhelmingly negative and polarized. And I feel there is nothing I can do to change it. And yet, I know through groups I belong to, through the comments that I get, that there is so much wonderful stuff happening out there, that you people are making so many incredible connections and powerful communities and you're rising up and your voices are out there. But I'm not hearing them in national and international news. And so I feel we are being forced to become untrue to our internal compasses, that we have something in us that points north for us, that points to the right direction we should be going. But there is all of this false news around us of how people hate each other, of how either you're for guns or against guns, or Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, No Lives Matter. We are caught up in all of that so much that we can't follow our own integrity, our own truth. So for me, I have decided to become more aware of where I focus my attention in order to become more true to myself. Yes, I will focus on Black Lives Matter because I know for a fact that there are more black people being killed, being arrested, being charged, being imprisoned than people who are not black. And the ratios do not add up. I will focus my attention on that. But on this idea that you're either for or against something, it is not that simple. And it is made to be simple through the news and through the media because they want to, and I don't think it's a conscious thing, but they want to somehow divide us. So I think I want to be a good person. I believe myself to be a good person, but I know that I am capable of bad things. I know that I have fucked up. I know that I have messed up. And I have to carry that. And I don't want to, because I don't want to believe that truth about myself. It makes me feel uncomfortable. But I have to work with it. Otherwise, I can't become better. So I believe that one of the most complicated things, one of the hardest things we have to do as human beings is we have to recognize the complexity of our own stories. And it's only when we start to do that that we can start to understand the complexity of other people's stories and not judge them for just being right or wrong. We can say you did the wrong thing, perhaps for the right reasons. That's slightly more complex. We have to think about things. And sometimes it is just easy to say, I hate them. I don't like what they do. I'm going to have nothing to do with them. Because then we don't have to face the truth of the fact that it's not that simple. It's not that simple for us, and it's not that simple for them. Life is complicated, and we are complicated. We are not simple stories. We are complex stories. Those complex stories, they're not just connected to individual people, they're connected to our history. When I was at school, I was taught who the heroes were, you know, in the First World War or in British history, Queen Victoria, Queen Elizabeth I. These were all people who we should aspire to be like. And the Empire was a great thing. Being British was a great thing. Now, when I look back and I look at what happened during those times and what those rulers and those generals and those prime ministers agreed to have happen and caused to have happen, I am not proud. That is a shameful part of our histories. The whole slavery is abhorrent that we could believe that other human beings could be treated in such a way. the colonization of so many different countries, the ethnic cleansing that took place. The history is a complicated one. Here in Sweden, the way that Sami people were treated, I was taught that the old cowboy and Indian movies, as we called them, the cowboys were always the goodies. The Indians were always the savages. And even that concept of the proud savage. These are abhorrent stories. And yet it is easier for us to think in those terms of the cowboys were the goodies and the First Nations people, the Native American Indians, they were the baddies, they were the savages. It's easier because we don't then have to take any responsibility or see that we were complicit in those systems of oppression and in that, in allowing and perpetuating some of those systems to continue. It causes us pain when we have to think of the fact that what we were once proud of perhaps could be a source of shame and something that was terrible for other people. Those things hurt us and we do shy away from them, but I really believe that we can't create new stories together unless we deconstruct the stories that we believe are truth and unless we stick our fingers into those uncomfortable wounds that we have tried to ignore for too long to find out where the pain comes from, why we have the pain, and what we can do, what we can start to do, not just to heal ourselves, but also to help others heal. Those stories, those unspoken stories, those unwritten stories, those unsaid stories, they live in shame. And the only way to conquer shame is to speak it out. We need to speak out the stories of shame that we carry as individuals, that we carry as communities, and that we carry as nations. So, with that in mind, this idea of speaking out the shame, speaking out the story, in the next week, I would like to invite you to start to speak out the story you would like to live, to speak out the relationships you would like to have, to start to create the story that you would love to live in. There's a great quote, and I can't remember who said it, but it is to have a dream without an action is just a dream. And to have an action without a dream, well, that's just doing stuff with no direction. But to have a dream and have an action, well, that can change the world. So I'm inviting you to take the action of speaking the story that is your dream. To take the action of speaking the story that is your dream. Even just saying it out loud makes such a difference. So that's my little invitation to you, for you to do just over the next week. Come on, you know you want to. And to help you think about what's the world you want to live in and what's the story you want to create, our next two guests are, well, they're going to give us some advice around that. On the 11th of December, we have Aisha Jones, who's an incredible photographer, but also suffered very severely from scoliosis, curvature of the spine. And yet, when she had that, she also became a model. And she has changed her world and changed how people view her and the story that they had of her. And now she's an amazing photographer who tells stories through the photographs that she takes. So she'll be with us on the 11th of December. And then the following week, because we're coming up to Christmas, on the 18th of December, we have the incredible Rebecca Hemmings, who also had a health issue. She was diagnosed with breast cancer and she survived and now has totally changed her life around with regards to health and fitness and is inspiring other people to do the same. So both of those women, those incredible, amazing women that I want you to listen to, they both decided they were going to change the world around them. And they did that by having a dream and taking an action. So if you're a little bit lost, join me as I talk to Aisha Jones and Rebecca Hemmings in the next couple of weeks. And until then, start to tell the story that you want to live, even if it's only just to yourself, out loud, in the bathroom. And while you're doing that, you could click on our Instagram page called Unstuffing Our Story so that you can find out more about the guests, see images of them and book recommendations, and we can start to create a lovely little community together where we support each other on our journey to unstuff our stories. So please do that, and until then, stay hale, hearty and healthy. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye for now.